All right, guys. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. Can I get a little motivation, a little energy? I want you to be excited with me. This is Juan Santos over at Counselor's Journey, and we are going to dive into another episode all about teaching you mental health professionals how to A, start, B, grow, C, scale a six-figure counseling private practice without feeling overwhelmed. Let's do it. Let's dive into the episode. Here we go. Don't you forget about me now. Yeah, I'm talking about the Breakfast Club. Now, you're probably thinking, well, Juan, what does this have to do with building a private practice? Well, I'll tell you exactly what it has to do. You have those days, and I'm sure you've had them, where things are just going great in your business, and then you leave out of the office and you throw your hand up, just like at that end scene of the Breakfast Club, and you sing to yourself. And when I sing to myself, I feel like I can sing. I feel it in my bones. And typically, it's my wife next to me, and she's just nodding. She's like, no, I love you, but... and then there's those other days, right, where you are just putting out fire after fire in your private practice, and it's just nonstop, and you're exhausted, and you leave the office, and you're dragging. You feel like you've just ran two marathons back to back, and then you look at your phone, and it says it's Monday, and you're like, what? It feels like a Friday, it feels like a Thursday, but it's Monday, come on now. And I thought today would be a good topic that has to do with like putting out fires and getting things done and all that hovers around like that administrative side, which often is not something that's really discussed during graduate school. You know, the more that I think about it, there's a lot of topics that aren't discussed during graduate school. There's great ones. We learn about ethics. We learn about a little bit about culture, a little bit about ethics, a little bit about culture. We learn about maybe some CBT, some good old Rogers, about existentialism, different theories. This section, though, here on administrative tasks, you know, if you have a circle, let's imagine that circle is your business. You're going to have a percentage of it, maybe like 25 to 45% of it, somewhere in that range, is really going to have to do with admin. And today's podcast is a encouragement. You know, it's a highlighter. I want you to think about what tasks your admin has. And if you are the admin, what tasks do you have? And the systems around that. I am a strong believer in systems. I think systems allow businesses to thrive, and they can create chaos within a system, within a business, if the system is not appropriate or effective. So as an example, we'll play with one here. Let's utilize the admin task of setting up the office, right? And whether it's a virtual office or a physical office, right? There's some sort of administrative work around there. And we'll use the example so that it really kicks off today's podcast of a virtual office. I know a lot of people since COVID have been remote. The admin task of setting up the office will be setting up that virtual waiting room and ensuring that there's a check-in and then you're starting on time. Right, ensuring that the link is sent to the appropriate email, that the client has completed all of the intake documents, so that you don't find yourself in a situation that you're doing a remote session for 2 p.m., it's 2:05, and maybe you're getting emailed and your phone's ringing and the client's saying, hey, I don't know how to log into this, I didn't get an email. Or I am logged in, but am I using the wrong link? Or I'm logged in, but I can't see you. You can see me, right? All of those little tiny variables that have to do with administrative related tasks that go into that section of customer service and ensuring that the client is supported effectively. I'm not sure about you, but I've been in different situations where I've had, whether it's clinicians in my practice or myself or individuals that reach out for consultation, that they'll be in a scenario where that does happen with a client and the client can become frustrated, which makes sense, right? If you're a client and you're trying to see somebody and you're till 2 p.m. and then you log in and things are a little bit out of whack, it's not going to feel too good. It also sets the tone, right? And that's another important admin-related task, setting the tone. If it sets the tone incorrectly, that may lead to a really disruptive and hurtful, poor word there, not hurtful, just not a constructive relationship between client and counselor. Now let's look at a brick and mortar, right? client comes into your office, you're wanting to think about whether it's you or someone else. Are the doors unlocked? Are the blinds open? What does it smell like, right? Does it smell good, or can you smell yesterday's food rotten in the trash can? In the bathrooms, when they walk in, how do they look? And I even encourage this for individuals that rent space where someone else is taking care of those areas, you know, your restrooms and making sure there's enough hand soap and paper towels. Really just taking that extra step. If you do rent from somebody else, check in every so often, you know, look into the restrooms and see what that experience is like for you so you have an idea of what it'd be like for your client. Again, going back into brick and mortar, they're coming into your physical office, administrative task. You're thinking here, have they signed all of the paperwork? And who's going to be aware of that? Because more than likely, you're going to be focused on reviewing their intake document or at least prepping for the session to some degree. So who's helping them sign everything else? And is it done in a consistent way at a consistent time? All right, so you're kind of getting the gist, right? You're getting the gist of today's podcast. We're going to focus a lot on whether it's you or you have someone hired. How can we as business owners take a unique look at administrative work to increase productivity, to increase effectiveness, to overall have a solid business that someone such as a client want to continue to come to? So here is one really interesting area that I think it's important to look at. Sales, right? What an interesting word, because maybe you're thinking, well, what does admin have to do with sales? And I throw sales in there because sales is a very broad word. I did this training one time, and this individual said, which was kind of interesting, the statement. They were like, you know, sales isn't everything. It's you selling yourself to your partner in the very beginning. And I was like, whoa, buddy, you know, take it easy. Take it easy, man. Take it easy. That's from a movie. You ever seen Nacho Libre? He's like, take it easy. There's a lot of movies that stick out to me, little funny moments. So the point of me mentioning that is if you're the admin or if you have an admin, I want you to consider sales. Sales has to do with conversions, and there needs to be strategy in that. Meaning that if someone's reaching out to your office, and let's say this person is calling because they need a counselor that works with them and they're struggling with anxiety. Well, your admin is selling a product, and if you are the counselor or Bob is a counselor, then Bob is the product. So the admin needs to know the product really, really well. Just like if you go and you want to buy a new Toyota dealership, to some degree, we would expect that the car sales professional knows about the cars there. Like, wouldn't that be odd? You get to this car dealership and you say, you know, I've been really looking at that Toyota Highlander. I'd love to have one. And then they walk you over to a Honda Accord, right? And then you look at them and they look at you and you look at them and they look at you, and there's something missing there. So that's what I want you to think about. I want you to consider, how well does your admin, if you're the admin, or you have one, know and understand the product and the unique intricacies of it, right? Because that's going to go into the sales process. And let's play with an idea here, because this could be a really lengthy conversation. Let's say that the counselor is Bob, and Bob works with people with anxiety. Now, let's also say that Bob has some certifications in mindfulness, somatic work, and, you know, let's just throw another cookie in the jar and say that Bob has written on anxiety for a couple of local magazines and presented on anxiety at a few universities. That's pretty cool, right? Bob's doing big things. Well, scenario one, right? Admin, and admin's working on that sales. Gets that call and says, hey, you know, I'm struggling with anxiety and I'd like to see if counseling with your office would be a good fit. And the admin says, well, we do have a counselor. His name is Mr. Bob. And he does work with anxiety. Would you like me to set you up an appointment? Right. So right away, kind of go into that sale, go into that close. And the individual goes, well, you know, do you think that'd be a good fit for me? Right. So now this is an interesting space, right? Because they're asking the admin, does the admin think it'd be a good fit? And that's an interesting question. Does that mean that the client, the community, is there an expectation that admin related professionals, whether it's a counselor that takes on the admin role or an additional professional, that they have that knowledge, right? Perhaps, because if you go to a car dealership, there's a similar question you could ask that professional, right? You could ask that professional, you know, is this a safe and reliable car? And that professional can give you some feedback. And some of you thinking, you could even extend that, right? Should I ask a sales professional at Toyota if this is a safe and reliable car? Or should I ask the person that created the car? Or should I ask the person that tested the car in these safe spaces, right? What data do I want? And you notice you can really go to a lot of places. So for simplicity, let's bring it back and let's look at this admin, right, with the case example. And the admin now says, I do think he would be a good fit. You know, as I mentioned, he does work with anxiety, right? So the admin didn't really do anything wrong. They highlighted that he'd be a good fit and he does work with anxiety. So then the person, you know, maybe they schedule, maybe they don't. So now let's wash that and let's start over. Option B, the person calls in and then the admin says, well, we do have someone. I think it would be a great fit for you. And it's Mr. Bob. Mr. Bob has extensive experience in working with anxiety. I'm happy to share that with you. Would you like to learn more about Mr. Bob? Or are you ready to schedule an appointment with Mr. Bob? Right, so now we're presented with two options. They can learn a little bit more. When you're saying learn a little bit more, it's almost like you're testing the product. Just like when you go to a car dealership, they may say, why don't you take it home with you? Right, why don't you experience it a little bit and then come back and maybe that increases that sale. So we kind of bring that back, and now the client in that example can share, well, yeah, I'd like to know more. Maybe the client has a question. And then from that end, the admin who has that knowledge and knows how to apply that knowledge, right? They know how to sell the product effectively. They can go in and highlight, well, you know, Mr. Bob recently, blank time, did a presentation over at Blank University on anxiety. He also wrote, which I'm very happy to send you if I can get your email, did an article on anxiety. Any other specific questions that you may have about Mr. Bob? So what you're doing there is you're increasing the value of the product, right? This goes right back into sales too. And this is such an important area because if you skip over this when it comes to admin, whether you're the admin or you're hiring one, it does go into your bottom line. It impacts your bottom line. Our conversation today, yes, is about admin, right? Looking at increasing effectiveness. It also, within the layer of it, includes sales and includes conversions and it includes strategy, which is such an important area. So I want you to sit on that. I want you to think on it. Let's go into another area that has to do with admin. And this is where, as far as like consulting, I have seen such a gap here with professionals. And I think it's because most counselors, mental health professionals, when they own businesses, it's not this humongous, you know, multi-state practice with hundreds of administrative individuals, right? It's usually a smaller mom-and-pop shop, maybe one person, maybe two, maybe three, and then it kind of jumps a little bit higher to your 6 to 10 range, and then after that, you get into a little bit larger. But as far as my experience working with individuals in consulting, most of those coming in are somewhere between the 20 and lower range of staff. And the majority of staff are counselors. So I noticed that at most, I may see like 2 to 5 admin. So here's something that I think would be really important for you to really pay attention to. And it's handing off task. Right, the strategy within that so that things do not fall into a hole. So let's look at an example here. Let's say that you are the admin, right? And we'll use yourself because I'm sure many of us have been in situations like these before. You have a client that called at 10 a.m. and you call them back and then you call them back and they're speaking with you. And in the midst of that conversation, they tell you that they just got a call from their child's school, but they want to continue the conversation with you. So then you drop that, you know, of course, and they, you know, head off in their way, you head off in your way, and you jump into client sessions. So the key question goes in, who's going to follow up with that, right? And how are you going to remember to follow up with that individual? And this becomes, can be a challenge, right? Doesn't have to be, but it can be. If you have that same scenario and it's an admin, and let's say the admin has that same conversation, but they get off at 5 p.m. and they have it around 4 o'clock. And now they head off for the day. And let's just say that there's other counselors still working at 6 p.m., at 7 p.m., and maybe in the morning at 8, 9, 9, 9 the next day. And let's say the admin is not there, right? Who is picking up on those tasks? Now let's make this even more complicated. Let's say you have an admin, and that same scenario happened where they get off around 4 or 5, and they left that task hanging, right? They were going to get to it, and you're coming in the next day, and that client calls back, and the client expects to pick up the conversation in the same place with you, but you're kind of thinking, wow, you know, I have no idea about this conversation. Right, now let's make it even more complicated, because I really want you to think about this. You know, let's say that you have an admin, and an admin, and they get a phone call and they go over fees, right? And they provide detail on a certain fee, right? And it has to do with the sliding scale. So the person gets a sliding scale and they're at $50, right? $50. And now let's say the same client reaches out to somebody else in the practice, another counselor, or even the same admin, but they reach out via email, right? So it's difficult to figure out who they are. And it's not because they're trying to be sleazy or sneaky or anything like that. They just communicated in two ways. They sent an email and then they communicated by phone, right? What if the response is different on the email and on the phone, right? So you're trying to think about, how can you have a business where when there is a task completed, knowledge is held over what happened to that task, right? Is that task in progress? Is that task completed? Is that task on a backlog, right? So those are items you want to consider. And the reason I want to consider them is because, A, you don't want something to fall into the hole, right? You don't want something to fall into the side and next thing you know, you have a disgruntled customer, client. Second, you don't want that to be a system. You know, what if that happens 1 week and 2 weeks? And next thing you know, that's just a normal within your organization. You know, that wouldn't be great. That wouldn't feel great. And as far as how this can help, I mean, tremendously. If you're able to, whether it's yourself as the admin or you have somebody in there and they're jumping in and they know what their tasks are, and there's some sort of structure in there that the task can have an orientation to layers of completion and progress or a scale. You know, where am I at with this? I'm at 20% and I've got 80% left to do it, right? It lets the organization know what's happening within its infrastructure. Now, I find in reading, so most of this is reading or getting to know other professionals like in masterminds that do come from larger organizations, not mental health professionals. So these are like maybe human resource professionals I've met or educators, just people that are nurses, another example, physicians, come from large industries. I notice that they are those admins. There's like 10 or 15 admins. So they share a lot of the work where if, you know, one of them is doing something and they get 40% of it done, they hand off that entire 40% log. So the other person knows what's done and then they pick up there. I like to think of it as like a sport where, you know, you got the basketball and you're dribbling and the rest of the organization sees that you're dribbling. And then they pass that off, right? You pass it to somebody else, but everyone gets to see what's happening with that pass so that nothing is missing. Everything is seen, right? It's there. It's present. Last item I want to leave you with as you head off and you have an amazing, amazing day is when it comes to admin, I want you to consider training, right? Whether it's yourself or you're hiring somebody and not just a quick, you know, training here or there. Ongoing training. I want you to think about, you know, how can you build this business so that you're providing someone with ongoing level one, level two, level three training of maybe HIPAA, cultural diversity, sales, understanding conversions, understanding how to communicate during conflict, understand how to manage conflict, right? Just really getting in there and providing them with that training. One of the worries that I get from people that reach out or we're doing consultations is, well, you know, they'll say, well, Juan, what if I give them all those trainings and then they leave? Well, yeah, that's a big worry, right? And you know, it's important to take a step back and look at every other business around you. They're consistently doing that, you know, day in and day out. How many organizations, you know, have individuals in there and pay for the university, pay for their schooling, you know, one after another? So that's why it's important, A, to build a strong work culture. And then B, you know, there's a good Disney movie, right? It says, never be afraid. And I think that applies here. You know that you're building something amazing. And part of that means you're investing in others. You know, I was speaking to this with my wife the other day, and both of us are owners of the practice. And then we were talking about just the investment that we've made in the practice, all the way from material to time. Some days we're there, like this week, she was there in the office all day and then ran to go get some paper because we ran out of paper. And then the next day, she had to make a Costco run. And it was just, you know, one of those weeks where you're just like, oh, I need some of this and some of that. And we're looking at just all the investment, you know, whether it's on the physical property or on the counselors that work there, on the staff, on the admin. And we started to talk about, you know, well, what if somebody leaves? And both of us found this really beautiful place of like contentment to go, you know, part of the reason why we built this practice, of course, is to help our community and to, you know, bring strength to mental health awareness. It's also to invest in people, right? To invest where employees are able to come in and feel supported, feel that this is a great place to be and a great place to grow. And that may mean that, you know, they're going to grow with us and stay, or they may head off and continue to do amazing things. But that's part of the risk, right? That's part of it. And it was nice because both her and I agreed that we're willing to be in that space. We're willing to be in that risk, right? It's one that's very favorable and we want to take, you know, knowing that people can stay, people can go. So I share that because maybe there's some hesitation that you have. Maybe you're thinking about your staff and you worry, well, how much do I invest and when? What if they do leave? You know, perhaps connect that to a larger picture. Connect that to your core values. You know, the mission, the vision of your business. You know, what is it and how does it relate to that? All right, my friends, I'll leave you with that. If you need help in your journey of private practice, I want you to reach out, work with me. I think consulting is it's amazing, it's scary at the same time. But I'll tell you one thing, and here's something that I'm sure you've lived and you've experienced. I know I have. It takes a lot longer, right? A lot longer to go through all the Google and now ChatGPT and try to find the answer. A hell of a lot longer. And it's expensive, right? It's expensive to hire a consultant, but it's accountability and it's faster, right? It'll get you there faster so that you can make those incremental steps, growth that you're looking for. And that's right. That's, yes, that's sales, but that's also the reality, right? Reality from my own experience and maybe the reality from yours. I'll leave you with that. As you head out today, guys, I want you to give yourself a big old hug, a big old high five, because listen, you're doing it. You're taking time out of your day to build your six-figure private practice. You are tapping into ambition. You're tapping into curiosity, and you're doing it here together. We're holding hands. We're walking on this journey, a private practice journey. Before you head off, do me a kindness. Leave me a review. Let me know what you think about this episode. Let me know which episode really stuck out to you. Which one made you go, yes, I need to start doing a little bit more of that. Or yes, I am doing that and I'm proud of myself for doing that. I am seeing amazing changes. Thanks again for listening, and I look forward to growing together on our journey.